name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I send you greetings from the brethren in Melbourne. It is so good to be here, to see familiar faces, and to worship together with you. This morning we will be considering Psalm 1, and if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 1. Let us read together verse 1 to verse 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 to verse 3. Let us begin with verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted rivers of water, and bringeth forth in season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. Let us look to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time that we can look into a portion of thy word. We thank thee for every opportunity we can have to read the scriptures and to listen to thy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be our divine teacher, to teach us, guide and lead us, and also empower us, that we will not just be hearers of thy word only, but to be doers of thy word as well. Be with me this morning as I bring forth thy precious, infallible and inerrant word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you ask the average person on the street, what is happiness and blessing? Some of them will tell you that to be blessed is to have a good job, to have a good salary, and also to have a house, and to be financially secured. Others will tell you that to be blessed is to have good health, a loving family, and also good friends. Yet others will tell you that to be blessed is to be free from anxieties and worries. Do you realize that all these opinions, they have something in common? They are all temporal. True happiness, true blessings is surely lasting. It cannot come from something that is temporal. What does it mean to be blessed? This word is sometimes translated as be happy. But most certainly it is more than just being happy. The psalmist throughout the book of Psalms, he quoted many times this word, blessed. Let me give you some examples. Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Psalm 32, verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Psalm 84, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Psalm 112, verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Interestingly, even those who are dead are called blessed. You read the last book of Revelation 14 verse 13, it says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. All these people who are called blessed, they are all people who have entered into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are believers. They have a true and permanent relationship with God by faith in Christ. To be saved by faith, we have to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. My friend, have you entered into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have not, then you cannot be the person that is described in Psalm 1. You cannot be called blessed is the man. But if you are someone who is a believer, born again, then blessed be the name. You are the person described in Psalm 1. Even when death comes and knock on your door, you are still called blessed. The title of our message for this morning is Blessed Be the Man. There are 3 points in our message. Okay. The first point is what the believer must do, and then what the believer must not do, and finally, what the believer would produce out of his life. So let us consider what the believer must do. First, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The psalmist did not say, blessed is the king, or blessed is the wealthy man, or blessed is the popular man. He said, blessed is the man. An ordinary man, a man like you and me, a man who is subjected to infirmities, a man who is subjected to trials and sorrows, but he is a blessed man nonetheless. And why is he called a blessed man? He is called a blessed man because there are certain things he would not do. He would not do certain things that are contrary to God. He would not walk under the influence of the ungodly. Notice the progression in this verse. You walk, you stand, and finally you sit. You begin by just hearing the voice of the ungodly, and then you accept the way of their lifestyle. It is no longer the influence now, it is the joining of the sinners in their lifestyle. And then finally, what happens? You will join them in their mocking and scorning of the righteous. It is progressive. And we know that is what sin will do to us. Sin will not stop. It will continue to blossom in a bad sense. Firstly, the psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are the wicked who are guilty of sinning against God. All of us, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sinners. We are outside the kingdom of God. We are walking according to the course of this world. We are walking according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan. We are by nature children of God's wrath. But by God's mercy and grace, he has chosen some to be his children. And thus we are called. And if we are believers, then we are no longer enemies of God. So we should no longer walk according to the course of this world. No longer walking, listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel means advice or wisdom. In other words, the believer must never live his life or her life according to the advice of the ungodly, or according to the wisdom of the ungodly. The ungodly has values and principles that are contrary to God and His Word. We must never follow that values and principles. Of course, we can take the advice of medical doctors who are unbelievers. We can also take advice from real estate agents who give us advice on housing. But nonetheless, if there be any implication on the spiritual aspects, we must be very careful not to be yoked together. Today, the counsel of the ungodly and their way of thinking can come to us in so many ways, especially through the social media. We must be very careful with what we hear and with what we see, especially the internet, television, and radio, because they are being programmed by the ungodly. So it is so easy for us to fall into the sin of listening to all these ungodly values and systems and principles. Now, every day, our children and ourselves, we are bombarded by technology. We want quick answers. We want fast. Just click and you get the answer. And many a times, we get the answer. The internet can be very amazing, but there are also many wicked and evil things coming out of the internet. As parents, we must be extremely careful. Recently in my church, one parent asked how to deal with the children who are using the internet. So we discussed, and then we realized that the children would use the internet in their own rooms. We suggested to the parents, use it in a central place in the house. Perhaps that would be safer. There would be accountability. We have to deal with all this in this time because we are living in perilous times. If you want to know whether a person is influenced by the ungodly, watch his or her conversation. Because the more he or she listens to the ungodly, slowly and gradually, his own conversation will also change as well. Spiritual things no longer is important to him. Once primary, now is secondary. God will take a back seat. We can hear that from the person's conversation. Ask ourselves this morning, do we find ourselves listening to the advice of the world? Or do we listen to the Word of God? Are we quick to listen to the Word of God? Secondly, the psalmist says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Here there's a progression. He's willing to stand with the sinners. He's willing to accept their lifestyle. It's no longer the influence anymore. They have impacted his life so much so that he's able to accept their lifestyle, their way of life. He's so comfortable with their values and philosophies. He's so comfortable with the sinful lifestyle. Now, this is very frightening, because when you are yoked together with the unbelievers, slowly but surely you will accept all their way of lifestyle, it will mean nothing to you. It will not bother you. At one time you may be affected, but later on you will not. Thirdly, the psalmist says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now he has moved, not just being influenced, not just standing together with them. He's willing to sit together with the sinners and scorn at the righteous. The believer must never join the ungodly to mock and scorn at the righteous. Have you ever encountered people mocking at you and scorning you when you try to encourage the person to attend fellowship meetings, to come for prayer meetings, to be more active in serving God, and that person mock at you and say, you are just like the Pharisees? When a person is not right with God, that person will always find excuses and try to defend himself. And one of the defense is to pick on the person who approach. And they will pick on us. Well, my friend, we all know that this is very real in this world, even in the church. We pray that our people will not walk, neither will they sit, and also not be mockers of God's people. Perhaps you are very familiar with the comic story of Tarzan. When I was young, I saw the comic Tarzan. I don't know whether it's real or not. But apparently he was a man who was brought up by the animals. So not surprisingly, he's able to communicate with the animals. He's able to understand the animals. And then he's also able to think like them, live like them, and also accept them and be like one of them. This is what will happen to us when we go out into the world. When we intermingle with the world, so much so that we are so comfortable, we understand them, we think like them, we can also live like them. And sooner or later we speak like them. God forbid. This is something the believer must never do. So verse 1 is what the believer must never do. Now we move on to our second point, what the believer must do. Okay, look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is not the only place where the psalmist understands the importance of God's law. In fact, in many places, he esteemed the word of God so highly. In Psalm 19, verse 7, David, the psalmist, says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. Making wise the simple. And he also prayed in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. He delights every time he's in contact with the word of God. Delight there can mean pleasure. And each time he is able to know God's word, read God's word, encounter God's word, he's very delightful. He's very happy. It is not something to oppress us. Some people think that the Word of God is very oppressing. I remember one unbeliever said to the pastor, "Why are you Christians always enslaved by the law of God? This you cannot do, that you cannot do. It is so enslaving." And the pastor replied and asked him, "Which part of the Bible do you think is enslaving? Which one of God's law? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife? Which one? If the word of God says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and this is the one that you find very burdensome, that you find that is very enslaving, something is terribly wrong. The word of God is not enslaving, neither is it burdensome. It is a delight to us believers. We are so happy because the word of God is like a light, it's like a lamp onto our feet, so that we will not grope in spiritual darkness. Otherwise, we cannot see. So we are very happy. Just like the psalmist who says in Psalm 23 verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." What do sheep feed on? They feed on the green pastures. What do the believers feed on? The believers feed on the Word of God. And the Word of God is able to comfort us, assure us. In times of difficulties, the Word of God is able to encourage our hearts. In times whereby we stray away from God, His Word will remind us and convict our hearts that we repent and turn to God. When we are troubled, God's Word will show us the precious promises and hope. We are delightful every time we encounter the Word of God. If the only way you can communicate with your beloved wife is through letters, I believe that you'll be waiting eagerly at home for the letters to come. And when you receive the letter, you will read it again and again and again. Right? How much more the Word of God? The Bible is God's ordained means to speak to His people. And so His people who want to read His Word again and again and see how the Almighty God will speak to them. You know, we do not need to go to a faraway place in order for us to experience God speaking to us through the Bible. Many years ago, someone asked me, "Have you ever been to Israel, the Holy Land?" At that time, I have not been to the Holy Land. So I said, "I've not been to the Holy Land." And that person said to me, "You must go to the Holy Land. When you go to the Holy Land and you walk where Jesus walked, the Bible will come alive." Well, it is true. It is most wonderful to visit biblical places, to see all the places that the Bible has recorded for us. But we need not go to the Holy Land for us to experience the Bible coming alive. The Bible is alive for you and for me now and forever. Everywhere we go, if we have the Word of God, it is alive. Because this is God's very Word. If you take delight in the law of God, which is God's Word, then you must also prove it. You will meditate day and night. Daily you will read the Word of God. When was the last time you read the Bible? Last day you brought the Bible to church. I believe so. When you brought the Bible back, have you touched the Bible? Or is it just left in one corner in the house? If you are someone who is called blessed be the man, you must delight whenever you read the Holy Scriptures. You know, if I tell my wife, I love you, dear, and then I do not desire to speak to her, I do not desire to consider her thoughts and to hear her out in the decisions I make, I'm a liar. I can say all I want, but I do not mean it. We can say we delight in the Word of God, but if we do not prove it, we are but just paying lip services. Believers will take delight in reading, studying the Bible. To meditate is more than just reading. It is to read a promise, it is to read a commandment, a verse or a passage, and let that thought run through again and again and again constantly. So you read a passage or a verse, and then you allow that verse to run through your mind again and again and again. And that is how we, as Christians, we apply God's truth in our daily life. We meditate, and then we seek to apply God's Word. In other words, we must dig deep into the Word of God. Not very shallow, not just scratch on the surface, and that's about it. We dig deep into the Word of God. We need to meditate day and night. So these scriptures is not something for us to bring only on the Lord's Day, only on Christmas, only on Good Fridays and Easters. No. I thank God that your church, you have memory verses. It must be in our memory, in our hearts, in our minds. The Word of God must be our great delight. And the only way that is possible is through meditation. Meditate upon the Word of God. And the outcome of someone who takes delight in God's Word, if you are such a person who meditate upon it day and night, then the outcome will be found in verse 3. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this brings us to our final point. The believer must produce in his life. What the believer must produce. In actual fact, it is the Holy Spirit that will produce. Firstly, the blessed man shall be like a tree planted. It is a planted tree, not a wild tree that has no purpose. Planted tree always has a purpose, because it's planted, it implies that there is a planter. And God is the planter. And if God plants, then he must have a purpose. What is his purpose for that particular plant? It must serve his sovereign purpose. It must produce fruit for his glory. In the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord Jesus, he taught his disciples and said, God the Father plants the tree for his sovereign purpose, but not every tree is planted by God. And what happens to those trees that are not planted by God? Jesus says in Matthew 15 verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Bear in mind that this plant will look like those plants that are planted by God. These plants may even profess to be planted by God. It may seem very similar, but in reality, they are not planted by God. Remember, Jesus says, many shall call unto me, Lord, Lord, but I will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquities, I never knew you. So there will be many whom God does not know. Many who says that they love God's word, but in actual fact, they don't take delight in God's word. Many who says they are not in love with the world, but in actual fact, they are walking, standing, and sitting with the world. God says, you are not planted by me. I will uproot you. I pray that none of us here will be uprooted by God. That we are true plants that are firmly established by God the Father. Those people who dug deep into the Word of God, they will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree could never survive and grow without water. Just like the Christian, he or she cannot have spiritual life without God's Word. Take any person whom you know who profess to be a believer and never reads the Bible, you can be very sure that person, his spiritual life is stagnant. If not, he may not even be a believer. Because without the Bible, we will have no spiritual life. The interesting thing here is that it is not just a river, it is rivers. The emphasis is on the abundance of water to provide nourishment, to provide minerals and also resources so that the tree would need to produce fruit. So if you have rivers on one side, and rivers on the other side, and then you have a tree that is rooted deep, that tree will surely blossom. Take a moment and think. In a spiritual sense, our Christian life in this church. Think about all the programs in this church. You can have DHW classes. You can have Bible classes. You can have basic Bible knowledge classes. You can have adult fellowship Bible classes. You can have all the fellowship meetings, All these are avenues for you to grow spiritually. Are you not like a tree planted beside many rivers? Surely. No, you and I, we are just like trees planted beside many rivers. We can draw nourishment from here. We can draw minerals from here. We can be refreshed on this side. No, it is so marvelous. I pray that you will take heed. All these resources are planned, are programmed for you. Now, make use of all these resources so that you will be like a tree that will blossom and produce fruit. And the Bible tells us that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The fruit will not come immediately, but in his season it will come. You will not be a mature Christian overnight. You will not produce fruit immediately. But if you persevere, slowly but surely, you will produce fruit. In a season, the fruit will come. Now, it is not maybe the Christian will produce fruit. Maybe the Christian will not produce fruit. Surely, the Christian will produce fruit. The difference is in the amount. Some will produce 40 folds, some will produce 60 folds, some will produce even 100 folds. The difference is in the amount. Every believer will produce fruit. The more you read and meditate God's word, the more you obey God's word, the more fruit you will produce to the one who has planted you. I pray that all of us here will recognize the fact that we are trees planted by the Almighty God. So we must draw waters, and then we also rightly apply. Then we can produce fruit. Galatians 5 verse 22 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit that the believer must produce in his life. The believer will bring forth the fruit of love. He loves God. He loves the people. The believer will also bring forth the fruit of joy. Even in times of sorrow, he will rejoice in the Lord. He will also cause others to rejoice. The believer will also, in times of difficulties, he will bring forth the fruit of long-suffering. He's patient. When there's trouble in the church, he will bring forth the fruit of peace, because he's a peacemaker. He's also gentle to the people around him. People who interact with him, they will all experience his goodness. He's a man of faith. He's humble. He's not proud. He is able to exercise self-control. All these are spiritual fruit that the believer would produce. Some more, some less, but every believer will produce fruit. The psalmist went on to say, his leaf also shall not wither. The leaf is not the fruit. The leaf is an outward sign of life. Many of us here, we have gardens, and we will have plants in our gardens. Come winter season, you will not know whether the plant is dead or alive. Perhaps the plant may be dead because of the frost. But all of a sudden, if you see a green leaf, you will know that it is alive. It is an outward sign of life. It is not dead. Have you ever been discouraged, depressed, so much so that you feel that you are as if dead? I felt like that before. Fellowship meetings does not excite me anymore. And then coming for prayer meeting, oftentimes I will not be able to share because of the things that I'm going through. And then whenever I read the Word of God, you know, the Word of God will convict me, and I feel so down. But God, of course, is gracious. Many of us, we have gone through this period of depression. But we are not alone. You know, Martin Luther, one of the greatest reformer, he was very depressed at one stage in his life. He was so depressed that when his wife took a look at him, the wife said, "Is God dead? Because the way you look and the way you behave is as if God is dead." Obviously, God is not dead. Neither are we dead. We will be like the leaf that also shall not wither. You know, like the little shoot of leaf that will blossom. You and I, we are just like this leaf. We'll be knocked here and there. We may stumble, but we will not fall down and out. We will not wither. And finally, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So the blessed man knows that whatever he does will work together for the good. The Bible tells us, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. Romans 8 verse 28. Nothing happens by chance nor coincidence. From the time of our birth to our youth days, to our evening years, even unto our death, nothing is by chance nor coincidence. It is by God's appointment. And you and I, if we know that it is by God's appointment, it is for God's sovereign purpose, everything we do is toward God. And when everything we do is toward God, we will prosper in the things we do. Not in a material sense, not in a physical sense we prosper, but definitely in a spiritual sense, to the eternal glory of God. You and I, whatever we do, we will prosper. Such is the man who is blessed by God. As the scriptures tells us, blessed be the man. My friends, Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, is a description of the Christian. If it is a description of the Christian, we need to ask ourselves, is it a description of me? Take the Word of God as a yardstick and measure your life against this yardstick. Is my life a description that is according to someone? Can I be called blessed be the man? For you to be called blessed be the man, there are some things you must not do. You must not be influenced by the wisdom of the world. You must not be accepting the lifestyle of this world, you must not be scorning and mocking at the believers. As a blessed man of God, there are some things you also must do. You must take delight in God's word, God's wonderful words of life, and meditate day and night. And when you do that, you will produce fruit, more and more fruit, to glorify God. You love Him, you want to glorify Him, so everything you do, you will prosper. Because God has a purpose for this tree that He has planted. What is the greatest blessing you want for your son and you want for your daughter? What is the greatest blessing you want for your parents? The first greatest blessing is that they will come to a saving knowledge of the one Savior of this world, Jesus Christ. And the second following blessing is that he or she must take delight in the Word of God. And then out of that life must manifest spiritual fruit to the glory of God. Blessed be the man. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let us look to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity for us to consider a portion of thy word. Indeed, thy word is true. Each time we read thy word is a great reminder to us. Help us, O Lord, that we will apply thy word into our lives. For those who are still outside thy kingdom, may thou do thy saving work in his or her life, that he or she may come to know thee. We pray that for the rest of us who profess to be believers, help us to take heed that we be called, blessed be the man. We love thee. We want to glorify thee. We want to produce fruit for thy glory. So help us in everything we do. We want to focus on thee. Help us that we may be diligent in the study of thy word, without which we'll be groping in spiritual darkness. Be with us, strengthen us by thy Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.